Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast, a series of interviews with key leaders throughout the industry, all brought to you by the Content and Media team at Newco, a specialist global recruitment and executive search firm.
Welcome to the Content and Media Matters podcast. Your hosts today are me, Tim Meredith, Business Manager, and Abby Burnham, our Associate Consultant. And we're delighted to be joined today by Laura Blaisdell, Director of Global Talent Acquisition, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for Avid. Laura has worked in the talent and recruitment space for some of the world's largest brands across media technology, retail, automotive, and has been with Avid now for 5 years, helping them secure top global talent and also helping them deliver on their commitment to diversity and inclusion. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me, Tim. Happy New Year, all.
Happy New Year. Oh, we're dating the recording now. Just trying to pinpoint when we're recording. So let us start with some questions about the past. So with all of these shows, we begin with the same thing. How did you find yourself in the media technology space?
Yeah, so I quite honestly fell into it. I've had varied background, as you mentioned, working for, you know, lots of different sectors. And, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago, I had a career change of sorts and wanted to really think about diversifying my recruiting experience. And so I sought out to, you know, go into manufacturing, go into, you know, the technology space. And I came to Avid actually as a contractor. Really didn't know much about the company, but I'm an artist. I played the piano growing up, did a little bit of singing. So I just thought it was really cool what Avid did. And so joined as a contractor and after a few months converted and became a full-time employee. So
Avid very much being a brand that's well known in the kind of content creation industry, but outside of that, you know, unless you are a garage band producer and you know a bedroom musician, you may not have come across. So had you ever really heard of Avid before you joined?
Yeah, I had not, with the exception that I live not very far away from the headquarters. So I had seen, you know, the sign for the building or, knew a couple of people that, you know, that had worked here that were in engineering or sales. But no, I really was not familiar with the company, hadn't used the tools. So it was all new for me.
Lovely. And obviously, given that you've been, you know, in different industries and, you know, you've worked with some relatively major brands. So who or what has been the biggest influence on your career so far?
So I would say, you know, early in my career, I spent about 17 years working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, sort of grew up there. It was my first full-time job out of college. And, you know, I always revert back to those years where, you know, we were really lean and sort of building a business in a new market. And I had the opportunity to just engage with so many amazing people. And I always, you know, think back so fondly of the general manager. His name was Stan. And, you know, I learned so much from him. He treated everybody from the vice presidents and the heads of other organizations down to the people that were washing and cleaning our cars exactly the same. And the sort of the kindness and the empathy combined with the just, you know, amazing business acumen and hard work. I really just, aspired to be able to lead the way that he did and make everybody feel good. And that really stuck with me, just that kindness, because my image at the time of people that were really successful in business was they were sort of cutthroat.
Yeah. No, and then especially in an industry as competitive as something like, you know, the car rental market, like that is very, right. That is cutthroat business. That is people fighting in the street to go, right, my car, you will rent my car, sir.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And again, given the kind of, you know, the breadth of the things you've done in the areas you've interacted with, what would you say is the achievement you're most proud of?
Yeah. So, you know, personally, I'm a mother of two daughters. So I always have to say that's the thing that I'm the most proud of. Right. From a professional level, I would say, you know, with Avid over the past 5 years, we have really transformed this organization and being part of the leadership team, the people and places leadership team to, you know, not only help the organization digitally transform internally, but also transition from, you know, a perpetual on-premise organization to one that delivers, you know, subscription and SaaS offerings. And it's been amazing to see the company pivot and to bring the talent and the skills on board, or identify the talent and skills internally and move people, you know, in the organization to help really support that, you know, those strategic initiatives and growth is just been, it's been like nothing I've ever experienced in my career. It truly has been an honor and a privilege working for a company that has been around for so long. You know, when I got here, it was a 32-year-old company, but going through a transformation that feels like you're working for a startup has been just really, really quite remarkable and enjoyable.
Yeah, no, and we often hear from people, you know, especially in the media broadcast space, but in the kind of media and content space generally, it is an interesting mix of, it's a very technically focused industry. It's a lot about, you know, the cutting edge thing. And yet within that, there are huge sort of conservative elements, you know, it works the way we like it. Don't disrupt the process. So you can really have to push for that change. But it sounds like you have, and it's worked.
Yeah, we have. And I think that, you know, thinking about everything, you know, our values being woven through all of that, right? So you make these, you know, you sort of accelerate innovation, and, you know, you push on this, you know, sort of growth and subscription and SaaS, and go through this digital transformation, and, you know, of course, focused on the customer, right? But at the same time, ensuring as an HR team, as part of an HR leadership team, that we are really focused on this value-based culture that enables that transformation, but is really driven by a diverse and inclusive team. So I would say, you know, that's my part of it. That's what I'm really, you know, proud of the most, is that we've maintained this, you know, candidate employee experience while helping to drive that change as an organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect. And we will dig into those areas you touched on there a little bit later as well in more detail. So that was talk about the past. I'll now hand over to Abby to talk about the present and the future.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. Yeah, it's really lovely to kind of hear how you got into the industry and your sort of background in the space. But let's move forward a little bit and get your opinion on the present day. As we know, Avid are a world leader in the technology solutions for the media space. So really interested in sort of hearing your take on the current state of the media and creative technology industry, sort of from your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, it's such an interesting time in the world, right? Where if you had asked me, you know, 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, such a different place, right? And we've all lived through that and seen that, you know, people stopped going to the movies, they stopped going to concerts. You know, there were not these, you know, sort of live events, sporting events, all of these things were sort of put on pause, and the world started to consume media and content very differently, right? At home, on their personal devices, on their phone. You know, we know that all of these, you know, subscription services really increased as people were home, you know, consuming content differently. And so it's been really exciting to be part of an organization that not only survived, but thrived during that, due to our pivot to offering our services in the cloud, and also in a subscription model. So the recurring revenue sort of journey, I think is, you know, where I continue to see, you know, the industry going. And so for me and for the global talent acquisition team, it is really focused on continuing to look for that next gen talent, you know, as there are, there's so much experience in this industry, but we know we have to think about, you know, where's the future going, and looking at things like, you know, internship programs, K-12 programs, and delivering that content that you know, an 8 year old can, you know, create music on their phone. It's really exciting.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting sort of insight there into what you're going to be sort of looking at for the future as well. And on that note, what are you most excited for kind of moving forward?
Yeah, so I'm really excited, you know, personally for my team, you know, as Tim mentioned, I lead a global team. And so I'm based here in the United States in the Boston area where our headquarters is located. But I have a team of leaders that, you know, oversee the Americas, oversee the APAC region, the EMEA region. I recently brought in a TA leader who's based in Montreal, where we have a large site that we're sort of dedicated to growing, you know, our innovation pod there. So I'm really excited about the leadership team that I've been afforded the opportunity and the budget, quite honestly, to build under me, so that it's not just, you know, filling recs, right? We're not just hiring to fill jobs. We're really focused on programs that we can deliver with, you know, our employer value proposition, our branding, and supporting the organization as we, you know, really deliver sort of transformative projects. And so having the right talent on my team, of really, really smart, passionate talent acquisition professionals. I'm really excited to see what we can do this year.
No, that is really exciting to kind of think about where you're taking that next. And on that kind of note, we'll move forward to talk a little bit more onto the topic that matters this time, which is around that diversity and inclusion. So I'll pass back over to Tim.
Perfect. Thanks. So, yes, the diversity and inclusion and equity side of things is what we chose to be the kind of the hub topic here. And we normally do ask every guest that we have on, you listen to other shows, about that topic. But we thought, given your background, given, you know, your role at Avid, we'd kind of focus on that for this main area. So first thing I wanted to ask is, you know, looking at your career, a few years ago, your job title with Avid changed. I believe it was a director of global talent acquisition to being a director of talent diversity, equity, and inclusion, and really sort of naming that explicitly in your job title. Right. So what brought about that change?
Yeah, so, you know, like many companies, I think in, you know, 2.5 years ago, we, you know, were again living through the pandemic. We were in this, you know, this moment in the world where, you know, companies know that it matters, but really needing to kind of put a stake in the ground and say, look, it's not enough to just have something at the bottom of your job posting that says, you know, we're an equal opportunity employer, right? This is really about what matters. And for, you know, for Avid, we really wanted to commit that we're a place that, you know, not only celebrates diversity, equity, and inclusion, but is focused on thriving innovation, a high performance culture with belonging. And that, you know, we know that companies that are more diverse perform better, right? That's the business case, right? Yeah. Years ago, that's what we had to, you know, sort of sell, you know, in terms of, you know, program funding. But I think now leaders understand, and, you know, people in the world, candidates understand, business partners understand that you have to mirror your customer base. And the media and entertainment industry is incredibly diverse. And so, you know, it's a combination of wanting to make sure that we're finding, you know, the most diverse talent with the best skills, experiences, and different perspectives that we need and want. Because, you know, it's not just about, you know, how somebody identifies themselves, right? Mm-hmm. It's diversity of thought, it's accessibility, it's thinking about, you know, what is the best way to bring the top talent in an environment of belonging. And at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So sort of putting our money where our mouth is, you know, it made sense, you know, for me to, you know, lead that function because of the talent attraction part of it, but it's really given me the opportunity to, you know, go deeper into the organization and partner with the leaders in the organization to infuse that sense of belonging and equity in everything we do, from our hiring, you know, process to how we incent and reward our employees, how we motivate and retain our employees, and put things like mentoring and succession programs in place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you speak there a little bit about, you know, what Avid has done and how Avid has sort of, you know, changed their approach to the topic of diversity inclusion in the last few years. Given that I'm sure you're going to lots of, you know, industry events on this topic and you're out there at the trade shows talking to people, what changes have you seen in recent years to the approach of sort of companies generally to topics like diversity inclusion? Do you feel they're sort of very much in line with what Avid is doing, or do you feel there's a bit of some people going in different ways?
Yeah, I mean, I think the themes are similar, right? As I attend, you know, industry events, roundtables with other TA and DE&I leaders, I think that there are certainly common themes about, you know, branding and, you know, inclusivity in terms of the hiring process. And then I think there are very specific things that each organization, you know, has to focus on. For us, we've been really focused on, you know, what we call our education forums, where we invite, you know, all employees. And in terms of a sense of belonging, you know, we do that in all of the different time zones, right? So simple things like not just putting out meetings that are, you know, US centric, right? Where you're trying to make people feel included. And then, you know, it's the invitations coming at 3 o'clock in the morning their time. So we do, you know, education forums. You know, we're focused on, you know, things like how we benchmark and identify, you know, what our goals and hiring slates are. And this year, we're really excited that we've kicked off a Women in Technology mentoring program. So we have not only women engineers in the company, but anyone who wants to be, you know, sort of an ally, meaning it could be a male in engineering that wants to share his knowledge with a younger female in engineering that maybe wouldn't have that opportunity, or even, you know, somebody like myself, who's not an engineer, not a technical person, but I am a woman working in technology. So that's been, we kicked that off recently, and that's been really exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, all of the success that that program has.
Perfect. Wonderful, wonderful. And then one which is maybe a little bit of a trickier question, but you know, often there is the idea of, you know, making things more diverse, inclusive, accessible, so on and so forth. And then there's, you know, there's trying to implement it, you know, and like anything that anyone does in a company, in an industry, one does not smoothly translate to the other. There is always so if you did have a magic wand that could kind of, you know, get over those hurdles, what would you change about how the industry, you know, encourages, attracts, keeps diverse talent?
Sure. So I think for us, it really has to be that top-down commitment, right? It has to come from the leader. And our CEO, Jeff Rosica, is incredibly committed to diversity, inclusion, and belonging. That was part of the reason that I accepted the job when I first was here as a contractor. Jeff became CEO 6 weeks into my engagement. And, you know, we got together and he said, you know, I need to fire myself as the chief marketing officer and the president because I'm now the CEO. And, you know, would love to partner with you. And you know, we got to know one another pretty well. And what I learned from him is he was very committed to diversifying the organization. And at that time, we had a 100% male executive team. And so, you know, I agreed that I would come on board full time as long as sort of I had the condition that I could put in place programs and policies that supported DE&I efforts. And Jeff was the first leader that committed to me that the chief marketing officer that he hired would either be a woman or a person of color. And by the end of the first year that he was in his role and I was in my role, which was 2018, we hired a female CMO, we hired a female CHRO. We had not had a leader of HR in that capacity before, and the chief customer experience officer. So we went from 0 to 40% females on the executive leadership team. And that just cascaded, right? Jeff leading by example and saying, look, this can be done. We don't have to hire the first person that meets the requirements. So I was granted sort of the magic wand, which was the permission I needed to say to leaders, we are not going to make a hiring decision until you have seen an inclusive slate of candidates.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's my responsibility. Again, back to the recruiting, they're going to choose the best candidate from which I have presented. So it's my job and my team's job to make sure that we're building those pipelines and that we're presenting, a diverse slate of candidates. And conversely, one of the things that has come up in each of the meetings that I've had in the industry that people have loved is it's not enough just to have an inclusive slate of candidates. You have to have an inclusive panel of interviewers. And so the steering committee that that I've built around the DE&I function is made up of about 15 people who are all committed to being part of the interview process, whether or not it's their function. And that's been really, really impactful as well. So if you're a female interviewing with an all male team, then we'll bring somebody in from the DE&I steering committee that's a female in another function to talk about their experience with the company. And candidates have responded really, really well to that.
Massively. Yeah. No, and I say that's, as you talk about, thinking about it, it totally cuts both ways. One, you have somebody in the room that is approaching it from a different perspective from the interview panel. And as you say, from an attraction point of view, the person interviewing isn't going like, well, is this what this whole company looks like?
Exactly.
Is it all like that? You know, you have got that diversity. That's interesting to hear about. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you for digging into that topic with us. So we'll now move to something a little bit more fun and frivolous. We're going to talk about your perfect weekend, Abby.
Ah, my perfect weekend.
Yes.
Okay. I guess it depends on the time of year. So this weekend it is going to be skiing with my daughters. So I would say in January, you know, my perfect weekend is hitting the slopes with my daughters who are 17 and 22. That I taught to ski, and now they, you know, they leave me in the dust, so to speak. So I really enjoy that. I mean, you know, a day of skiing and then sitting by the fire with a, you know, a hot toddy or a glass of wine and is pretty enjoyable. But outside of that, I am a summer girl. I get me outdoors and I am really, really happy. So enjoy boating, enjoy the beach, enjoy hiking. And so, you know, perfect weekends and the nice weather is as much outdoor time as I can get, whether it's, you know, taking my dog on a hike or, you know, getting out with my family on the lake, on our boat, and just really enjoying the sun and the nice weather.
Oh, that sounds incredible. And certainly it's nice to sort of hear about your professional life, but we always like to find out a little bit about what makes you as well and hear about your personal side.
And I'm always interested when anybody talks about skiing. Laura, would you call yourself a skilled skier or more of an enthusiastic skier? Like where do you sort of fall on that, on the range?
Yeah, I'm a skilled skier.
A skilled skier. So you're not constantly just veering off into it, because I feel that would be me. I've been skiing once when I was small and short and had a low center of gravity, and I worry if I did it now, I think I would end up upside down about 50% of the time.
Thankfully, my dad was a professional skier.
Right.
He was he worked at one of the biggest mountains in the Northeast and was part of the ski patrol and did the, you know, search and rescues and, you know, gave lessons. So as early as I can remember, I think I was on skis before I was on a bike, to be quite honest.
Wow.
I was very, very fortunate to have a professional skier as a parent who taught me from a very early age. So it was like learn to walk, learn to ski.
Wonderful. Well, in which case we are bringing things to a close here, but our final question for every guest is always the same. What one piece of advice would you give to someone entering the industry today?
Ah, okay. I think really to me, it all comes down to curiosity and hard work, right? I think one of your questions was, what's more important, ambition or talent? And I think ambition, right? Because you can learn new skills, you can learn things if you're curious and if you're driven. And so for me, it's, you know, really just think out of the box, question everything. Don't be afraid to throw out ideas that, you know, might be, you know, completely off the planet, and see how that lands. So, I really do think that just staying curious and staying hungry, is, what, you know, drives people to learn the things they need to learn to be successful.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Laura, and thank you for coming on the show. It's been wonderful to have you.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and give us a rating. It really helps these stories to be found and enjoyed by more people. For more information about NewCo, we can be found at www.newco-group.com. That's NEUCO-group.com.